The following program may not be suitable for children.
Hold on to your butts.
As the sun sets over Slab Town, in the shadows of the Fremont Bridge, a club comes to life where you can let your freak flag fly.
There's a new fiesta in the making as we speak. Full kegs. Everybody's gonna be there. You ought to go.
The only thing that's off limits are the words you can't say thanks to the FCC.
They don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
We've given away too much to arrive at these political compromises. Yeah, now.
Google me, bitch.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Well, my.
What did he burglar?
He did it her. He did a lot of it.
It's insane.
You better believe I clicked on the ad. And it is Yarmakula.com.
That's how you spell Yarmakula.
Okay, we apologize.
No, they don't.
It's time for the club, baby.
I don't think I would do it
on
105.1
and 1080.
Like,
the fan.
Who? I loved COVID.
Taylor Swift, that's it.
Yeah, it's where the heart dudes are. Hi.
Hey, this is actually, we're only a break behind now.
Yep.
We're doing great.
Right where we were last hour.
Right. Well, no, actually, we were like...
We're like a team that falls behind 21-0 and then ties it up and then falls behind 42-21.
It is kind of...
That's what we're...
Yeah. You were out on a Friday a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I think it was when you were Black Butte. Yeah, and it might have been our worst.
Oh, really?
Joey we came back at like... It was like 6:23.
It was rough.
Whoa.
It was.
Whoa.
Now, yeah. You know, the window daddy was gone, and when the window daddy's out doing window daddy's doing,
things
then
got
the,
sideways on us.
The children are left to run the house, and it's, dude, I burned it down.
Well, therefore I am exonerated. Yeah. Of all.
The cat's away, the mice will play.
Yeah, dude, I was making grilled cheese with like an ironing board, and, you know, Buck was sniffing glue. It wasn't good. It was bad. You ever have that where your parents left you alone and, like, you realize, like, about halfway through it that you probably shouldn't have been left alone? Like, you're not mature enough to make those decisions?
Yeah, we do not know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've never had that.
You've never had that?
No.
Oh, I've had that. Like, you break, like, your mom told you not to do something, and you did it anyways, and then you broke something, and you're like, how am I going to explain away that one? My mom used to have, like, these ceramic, like, animals that she would make with her friends, and we were always told to, like, not play ball, like, in the living room. And inevitably, we would do it anyways, and those things would always get broke. Mm-hmm. The amount of times I glued those things back together and were like, eventually she's going to find out, but that's a problem for future me. What do you mean the ears were broken off? It's been hot glued back together. First I've heard of it.
I have a hot take on this.
Yeah.
Moms, listen up. What's better? Your kids having a good time in the house, or you having some stupid ceramic figurine sitting there?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Move your figurines.
She liked those figurines. For whatever reason, there was a lot of ceramic rabbits in my house. And I'll tell you
what. That's great, but put them somewhere else.
Well, it's the worst animal to have because the ears are just primed to get broken off. Get like a ceramic bear. Those ears are more manageable.
It's true. Yeah. Shorter ears.
Hey, yeah, never, do yeah, not have fun because I have to protect my ceramic rabbit.
Yeah?
You see how ridiculous that sounds? You tell her I said that.
Yeah, but the principle can extend. I have a 4-year-old now, and he likes to chuck stuff around, and we tell him, like, dude, you can't do that in here. You're going to break something. And he's like, okay, I won't. And then he, like, throws a ball across the kitchen, and it knocks 3 glasses off the counter, and you're like, dude, I just told you.
Like, I'm not going to lie. It's
head coach.
God. Anytime when I was a child and my parents were concerned about, like, whether or not I was able to handle it, I wasn't. I wasn't. You were right to be
still not.
No. Anyone is right to be skeptical to leave me alone and unsupervised. Nothing good happens. It's just not.
So I got a couple things here in the club. We're going to talk about the hat snatcher guy.
Yeah, this
see that
son
guy?
Of a bitch.
Yeah. I hear you, man.
If there's any cosmic karma, that guy is going to get run over by a Vespa.
What a jerk.
I don't want him to, like, die or whatever, but...
But just hit by a Vespa?
Well, yeah. I mean, I was going to say, like, hit by a car, but then you die, and I don't want that.
No, minor recoverable injuries, but enough to make him miserable for a while.
By the way, someone pointed this out. I had no idea. Remember the other day when my computer gave me an ad for a Mark Eaton book?
Yeah.
And I was like, why would anyone read a Mark Eaton book? Like, stop it.
You bought it, didn't you?
No, Mark Eaton's dead.
Like, what?
He's
what
dead.
Do you mean? Like, recently?
Yeah.
What happened?
Someone sent me a message that I didn't see.
Like, in between the time we talked about that and now Mark Eaton died?
No. He was already dead when we were talking about him, and we didn't know it.
We didn't know it. Someone, like, you know, when on Twitter, you know, someone sends you a DM, and if it's not from someone you know, it just shows up as a request. And sometimes it takes me forever to see those because I don't look at my requests, because it's usually either someone telling me that I can buy original shares of Amazon or calling me the world's biggest penis. So, like... but I saw that, and someone was like, hey, way to make fun of a dead guy. And I was like, what do you... Oh.
He died in a bicycle accident.
Yeah.
Got hit by a car.
And by the way, we weren't making fun of Mark Eaton. Yeah. I just thought it was weird that Amazon was like, would you like to read Mark Eaton's book? And I was like, no.
Is that four commitments of a winning team?
Yes. Well, it turns out Mark Eaton's dead. So I would like to say that we did not know he was dead, nor did we make fun of him. But had we known that he was dead... I don't think I would have pointed out, why would anyone buy Mark Eaton's book?
So if he were dead, you would have just left that alone?
Yeah. Had I known he was
dead... had you known he was dead.
Yeah, I would have been like, you know what? Kudos to you, Amazon, for listening to me. Because we were talking about something. I think we were talking about, like, Mormons or whatever. And they're like, do you like Mormons and Mark Eaton? Here you go. And little did I know he was dead.
Yeah, I think we were talking about how many Mormons made it to the NBA, because there weren't many.
Yeah, and then that led to somehow my computer listening to me and being like, you should read Mark Eaton's Pillars of Success. No, I shouldn't. Mark Eaton's Pillar of Success was be like 7'3". But
Wikipedia says 7'4".
Well, I can't achieve that, Mark. Sorry. It's not. I need to grow a foot in
my
50s.
Stretch it out a little bit.
But I felt bad now because he was dead and... Someone correctly pointed that out.
Well, you should feel bad.
Well, I don't remember. Do you remember Mark Eaton dying?
You big jerk. I just didn't want to say anything, you know?
Well, I remember Sean. Well, how about this? 7-foot BYU, like, Mormon center. Sean Bradley, quadriplegic.
Yeah.
Bike accident.
That's right.
Mark Eaton, dead, bike accident.
We were just talking about that Stanford coach, or the former Stanford coach, dead bike accident. Buddy Tevens. Did he die, or did he just get hit? Did he die?
No, he died.
He died. Why are all these people getting bike accidents?
Well, Joey Harrington got hit by a car on his bike.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes. Helmet saves
life. I think there's a lesson in all of this.
Stop riding my bike?
Don't bike.
How about motorcycles?
Think you're asking for it. All right, the other thing we have, the kids, you know, they have a lot of anxiety.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. More so than ever.
I have the latest... thing that they are afraid of. And you're going to love it.
Oh, boy. It's Charmin soft.
But we'll start with Hat Snatcher Guy next on The Fan. Well, we haven't had a chance to talk about this week because we've been busy here. But there is a dude who was shamed by internet. And I don't know who the tennis player is. Some guy named Camille.
Yeah.
I don't know. He plays a match at the U.S. Open, and he's over there signing autographs for the kids.
This is one of the douchiest things you will ever see in your entire life. And then the double down of the douche.
Just the worst. So this player, you can clearly see there's a vid where the kid wants an autograph, doesn't get the autograph, but the guy, the player, holds up his game or his match-worn hat. Mm-hmm.
That he signed. He's signing it.
And he holds it up. Right in front of the kid.
Yeah.
And this adult dude standing to the kid's right just snatches it, grabs it, gives it to his wife, who is standing behind him, smiling ear to ear, and puts it in her bag.
Yep.
So, of course, after the video circulated online to the tune of millions of viewers, the guy was identified, and he's a freaking CEO of a company.
He's a multi-millionaire.
Yes.
Yep.
From Poland.
Yep.
His name is Peter Szczerek. Mm-hmm. He's the boss of a paving stone company called Drogbrook. So he, of course, has to come out and apologize.
Yeah.
And here's what he said. Let me get what he said on The Fan.
Yeah, this isn't one of those things where you accidentally took the hat. This isn't one of those where you're like, oops, and you didn't quite see it. Dude, you snatched it literally out of a kid's hand, and then the kid's over to you. Like, the kid goes to
the kid looked at him and was like, what are you doing?
And he just shoves it in his wife's tote, and then they just act like, oh, no big deal. Dude, what an effing loser. You are an absolute piece of crap. You always talk about like the shopping cart thing. You turn a shopping cart or, you know, littering that tells you like what's in your soul. Dude, that guy's soul is rotten to the core. I refuse to believe that that's a decent human being.
Here's his statement. Quote, in the emotions, in the crowd's joy after the victory, I was convinced that the tennis player was handing the cap in my direction for my sons who had earlier asked for autographs. This false assumption made me reach out instinctively. Today, I know that what I did looked like deliberately taking a keepsake from a child. That was not my intention, but it doesn't change the fact that I hurt the boy and let the fans down. The cap has been given back to the boy, and I apologize to the family. I hope that I have at least partially repaired the harm caused.
Dude, you're a piece of crap.
By the way, that's about the best he could...
it's all you can do.
That's the best he can do.
And now, the statement... He's claiming that the statement originally, again, was fake.
Fake?
So he made a statement. There was a statement supposedly that came out on social media right after this that was linked to Facebook pages that he's now claiming are fake, that basically said, you know, hey, I moved fast. What's the big deal? Don't make this a federal case. Like, if you come after
me...
Were they fake? You know, he's claiming they are. Some people are saying, no, you posted those and you deleted it. Now, it's hard to know whenever these statements come out whether or not they're real or not. So he's now claiming that those statements were not his and then he had not commented on this. So I guess you give him the benefit of the doubt. Because originally it seemed like he doubled down on it and basically was doing a, hey, man, I'm not going to apologize for this. Like, I moved quick and... You know, hey, whether you think this is crappy or not, you know, hey, it is what it is, and don't you dare kind of come at me.
Do you think that the social media public shaming of bad behavior is working?
I think there's something to it.
Well, you would think a CEO would be smarter about their own actions.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same guy, the Coldplay guy.
Yeah.
Like, dude.
Those are both people who are not assuming their actions are going to be seen by anyone but the people around them, though.
Yeah, but I don't think you could ever assume that, particularly
but their behavior just be, like, people like this just become brazen in this way, where
I don't know, I just feel like when you're a CEO, you kind of have to assume the camera's always on you. Yeah.
Well, you should.
Particularly at the U.S. Open.
It's just, you would think, but you see this all the time, someone rips a ball out of a kid's hand, or, you know, this, or that. People just get caught up in the moment, and at the end of the day... I'll go to my grave saying this. We are the most selfish species in the history of the world.
Now, how do you know that?
How
do you know dolphins aren't more selfish than us?
Well, dolphins do get pretty rapey, which is kind of uncomfortable. But we just...
What about the giraffe?
Most things live in some sort of communal harmony. We are capable of just awful things, and it's just brain farts.
What does a giraffe sound like?
I mean, I wonder if he's sitting there, and this dude is worth millions... And he's sitting there realizing that this dude is now a clown, you know, to the rest of the world. And he's sitting there and he's looking at him being, dude, over a hat. Literally over a tennis player's sweaty hat.
Here's another thing, too. Can I just state for the record that I believe that if a player of any sport is signing autographs, it should only be kids that are seeking those autographs.
I would agree.
Yeah. Who are the adults
like,
that have their...
what are you even doing there?
Yeah. Well,
I mean, I get your boys are down there. Let your boys get the autographs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've talked about this before, but like I have people in my family that this is all they do. They pay hundreds of dollars to go stand in line and have someone sign something. And
well, stand in line and go to a table. Yeah. That's at least orderly. I'm talking about this, like this was like a scrum,
scrum.
Like where kids are just standing there waiting and hoping.
But to those people, like. I mean, the idea of getting an autograph or getting to have a touch of that, like, that's what makes them happy. And hey, man, whatever floats your boat. But I'm just telling you, having seen it up close and personal, it is a fascinating thing to watch people in the fascination with someone taking a pen and signing their name. Of all the things we do in our fandom, and believe me, there is a lot of them. I would make the argument that autographs in general are one of the strangest human behaviors that we have.
I agree. It's weird.
It's very strange. So
it's a human being. Like, what is the point?
If anything, I would rather have a handshake or a picture, but just the signature. I get that just to like collectors and stuff, maybe that holds value, but I just don't understand why you'd want that.
But that's my point. Like, so if I took a football And I said that, I don't know, who's your favorite football player?
Let's say Joe Montana.
Joe Montana. Whatever. I take a football and I have Joe Montana sign it. That becomes a keepsake. And you didn't watch Joe Montana sign it or whatever. It's just, here's Joe Montana. And it's like, oh my God, this is now my favorite possession. But if I give you a football and it's not signed by Joe Montana, but it looks exactly like it, someone just took it and looked at Joe Montana's autograph and wrote it on there, then that's worthless. So it's the same ball, it's the same signature, but it's the idea that someone else's hand did it, and now that becomes something that you would literally stab a kid in the back for. It's just such a weird thing. I'm with you. Like, I understand getting a photo, I understand shaking a hand and all that, but the idea of signing it, and I think the story that I've told is watching someone pay someone hundreds of dollars for their autograph and then having that person treat them like crap, that's the fascinating one to me. Like, you see these people in autograph lines, and the person signing for them has disdain for them, and they treat them like crap. And it's just, but you're so happy to get it after it's signed. That is a human behavior that I just...
It is weird.
As I've gotten older, I just can't figure it out.
So the player shared a video where he actually met with the kid after his warm-up the next day. Mm-hmm. And he gave him a bag full of swag.
Yeah.
And he gave him a hat just like the original one he tried to give him. So then he posed for a picture.
That's
with
awesome.
It.
So the kid ended up actually better off.
Yeah,
which is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the player gets a nice like a PR moment for himself too.
Huge boost for him.
Yeah.
Because I'd never heard of this guy. This is a relative nobody.
Yeah. Ooh. But it's, I understand the getting caught up in the moment, but man, the wife, someone should have told that CEO, dude, give that thing back. I always like when you see the video of, and you see a lot of these, to be fair to humans, I see a lot of videos now circulating where someone catches a home run and they celebrate and then they immediately turn.
They seek out the kid.
And seek out a kid.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I think that should, that's cool. Guess it's not.
And 9 times out of 10, it makes the kids dead.
Yeah.
I don't think that's protocol, you should do that.
If you catch it and you've been wanting to catch a home run ball and you're going to put it on your mantle, you're a collector, that's fine. But I just love those ones where a guy catches it and you can tell he's fired up. He catches it. His buddy takes a photo of him holding it up and then he immediately turns and he hands it to the kid. I love that. I just think that's really cool.
All right. Well, the kids, they're anxious. The Gen Zers out there. It's tough.
Yeah.
Tough world out there. A lot of big, scary things.
Like making phone calls.
Correct.
Moving out of your parents' house.
Driving a car.
Ordering food at restaurants.
Right. It all gives them anxiety.
Asking someone out on a date.
Well, I've got the latest bit of anxiety that they are shying away from.
This is going to be depressing, isn't it?
Well, it's not great. But I would say it's something that a lot of people, shockingly, can't do very well.
Yeah. All right, I'm intrigued by this. There's so many things it could be. Calling someone is the one that I cannot understand. My kids will not call for
They just don't want to talk to someone?
They do not.
Like, they don't want to... They'd rather just handle it on...
Email,
online.
Text, whatever.
Yeah.
They just...
Yeah.
I'm the exact opposite. Take away all the steps. I don't want to deal with the responses, the send, the draft, whatever. Just get me on the phone with an actual human and let them help me take care of it.
My son said something to me the other day, and it made my whole day. Because, like, every now and then, as your kids get older, they'll come to you and be like, Dad, I started, whatever, or I listened, and it's made a difference. And you're like, I've done something right. Because I used to tell my kids all the time, make someone tell you no to your face. If you're struggling in class, do not email your teacher. Go talk to your teacher. Like, if you're asking for extra credit, make the teacher say to your face, no, you're failing this class. If you're looking to buy something and the store says it's sold out, go speak to the general manager and make him tell you that, no, there are no more of these.
If you're
products.
On a team and you want extra reps, ask the coach. Tell him.
Yes. And I just told my kids, it is so much harder to tell someone, no, I'm not going to help you. In person than it is over an email or a phone call.
It's good advice.
And my son came to me the other day, the last time he was home, and I forget what it was, but he goes, because we were talking about my daughter who refused, my daughter will not. My daughter will not talk to anyone. She will not call someone. It is an email or nothing, email or text. And my son came to me and said, that was the best piece of it, one of the best pieces of advice I've ever had. And he said, yeah, I can't tell you how many times that I've gone and done that and it's worked out. And I'm like, yes, because no one does it anymore. But that face-to-face thing is just, it petrifies young kids.
All right. Yes, the latest anxiety for the Gen Zer is next, but first, book. A couple of sports notes. Mariners are now down 4-1 in the ninth, and the Rangers are winning 3-1 in the sixth.
It's not good.
No.
Does that take it with a
That would be a within game? A half.
Half game?
Of Texas, and then I don't even know what... Houston. See, I think... Well, Kansas... So, here's more sports news. Bobby Witt left the game tonight for the Royals.
Uh-oh.
In the sixth inning.
That's not good. I'm looking here. Royals are up 2-1 on the Twins in the top of eight. And yeah, the Rangers, you already mentioned that, 3-1. So that's not good news. It's not good.
Well, at least the Astros may lose. The Rangers hold on, but the Rangers are sneaking up. The other thing is the Chiefs pulled off quite a field goal at the end of the half against the Chargers. It's halftime. Chargers lead 13-6. But with 14 seconds left and no timeouts, the Chiefs were able to shuffle their field goal unit on, and they got the kick off, and Butker made it from 59 yards.
I'll tell you what, the Chiefs just have a way of stealing little points like that. How much you want to bet that comes back?
Oh, guaranteed.
At the end of this game, they're going to be like, good at that. Son of a gun. And by the way, a lot of people now being introduced to Carol G for the first time.
Yeah, who's this?
She's a huge...
Halftime act?
She's a huge Brazilian pop star.
Her name's
star.
Carol?
Carol G.
Carol with a K.
Yeah.
She looks like Shakira.
She has a... Yes. She is a big...
She looks
big...
like a mix between Shakira and Fergie. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I could see that. So she's big. I think she might actually be like Colombian or Venezuelan, but she's like a Latin pop star. She might be Brazilian, though.
Well, I got to tell you, she's a smoke show.
All of the all of my jiu-jitsu guys that are Brazilian just are obsessed with Carol G.
She is Colombian.
She is Colombian. So, yes, if you're seeing Carol G for the first time, yes, she's a big deal, and yes, she is indeed that hot.
And she's 34.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Look at those pineapples on her tatas
it's,
there.
It's greatness.
It's a great-looking outfit.
There's a lot of men right now having to turn to their wives and be like, yeah, honey, this is
disgusting. I'm going to go get a beer.
There's also a serious spike going on in Google searches around America. Who
totally.
Is Carol G?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the latest.
Carol's good from about 59, too. I mean, that's...
Here's the latest anxiety for the kids, the Gen Zers, you know. And it is called refueling anxiety.
Oh,
refuel
no,
anxiety.
It's not.
It is.
Gas stations?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Nearly two-thirds of young people are anxious about refueling their cars, a new survey has found. Online car retailer Cazoo found that 62% of 18 to 24-year-olds suffer from what researchers have called refuel anxiety. This was almost double the proportion of the total 2,000 respondents who reported anxiety at the gas station.
Why are we raising the softest?
Which was 39%.
Group of just sponges of all time.
And if you have a problem here in Oregon where you have choices, you can allow someone to help you or you can just do it yourself, then you have a real problem.
This is embarrassing.
Outside of concerns over sky-high fuel prices, young drivers reported fears over parking close enough to the pump, identifying the correct type of fuel, or competently operating the petrol nozzle.
No.
Researchers said the stem of the worries related to fear of making a mistake in public. Have you ever effed up at the pump? I have.
How so?
Well, it's
how do you eff up at the pump?
Well, sometimes they're like faulty pumps or like the latch doesn't work or something.
Oh, well.
And then when you take it out, like this wasn't too long ago.
You spilled gas
everywhere? Yeah. Oh, God. It was all over my feet. Oh. I spilled it all over the place.
No.
I threw my lit cigarette on it.
I mean, I'm trying to think. I'm sure I've had ones where you dribble a little bit or what. I don't think I've ever had a catastrophe where I've been like, oh, my God, what just happened?
I could have. In Oregon, in college, where I was not used to other people doing the service on the pump, I thought that the service was done, and I pulled away from the pump with the pump still in there.
Ooh,
and it didn't rip it out of the ground or do any damage to the car. I got lucky, but it could have been bad.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I guess maybe the closest thing is I've had where the pump doesn't work. Like, you go to one and you're like trying to do the card and it won't, so you go to another one. But again, that's not my fault. It's just the reader didn't work.
So what they're doing is they are asking their partners or family members or friends to fill up for them.
Wow.
Some of them are also saying, a quarter of them, 25%, said that they run out of gas because they're so hesitant to refuel.
I just... I'm trying not to be judgmental to this generation of kids, because we all face our own different circumstances and challenges, but sheebus people.
Well, since the 80s... Well, we talked about this the other day. My kid was not like this, but I do have family members, kids who were like this.
Yeah.
They don't want to drive.
No,
like they,
that's a real thing.
That is a real thing.
Yeah.
And so this is saying that since the 80s, the number of 17 to 20-year-olds that hold a full driver's license has been cut in half.
Yes. I buy it.
Yeah,
that's crazy to me.
I know from my kids and their friends, I am shocked at the number of friends that they have brought over, or my son's first two girlfriends, neither one of them had a driver's license. And I was like, what? He goes, I have to drive them around everywhere. And I'm like, you should. I've even offered. I'm like, because neither one of them had like a dad that was really around. And I was like, dude, I will teach you how to drive. I'm like, well, use your car. I'm like, I'll teach him. And they've both been like, no, like, I don't want to. Like, I don't want to learn. I'm like, how?
Yeah, I was in college when my youngest stepsister should have been getting her license. And I'm like, so, like, when's it going to happen? And she's like, eh.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, don't you want to drive? And she's like, well, my mom and Aaron, her older sister, like, they can take me. And I'm like, really? You don't have a desire to do this?
Now, the BTJ didn't learn to drive till college, but she was in Japan. And in Japan,
a little different.
No one drives. But when she got here, she was like, oh, yeah, there's no public transportation. You have to drive. And that's the thing. In other countries, Europe, you can get away with that. Here, everything is designed around driving. Like, you just Uber everywhere?
Do you, would you care to guess the, so about 96% of Gen Zers in this same survey said they have anxiety over this one sort of maneuver.
In a car?
Yeah.
Parallel parking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
96% said they have anxiety over parallel or reverse parking.
Yes. Even though...
96%.
Even though almost all modern cars have backup cameras and sensors and warnings, and my God, some of them park themselves.
People are still bad at the angles, though, and it's an opportunity, one, for an accident, and two, for embarrassment.
Someone said, do it for me instead of show me how to do it. Sounds exactly like my kids.
That's
another one, I have never hit my kid, but if he ran out of gas because he was too afraid to stop to get gas, I might start.
Hey, don't hit your kids, okay?
No, but I will tell you, that would be a problematic phone call. Dad... I need you to come get me. What happened? I ran out of gas. Well, did you know? Yeah, I just was too scared.
I didn't really want to go.
So I just kept driving, and I didn't know if I would run out. Make America great again. Let's start punching kids in the face.
We may
have to.
It's amazing the way I don't hear any applause for that.
Make America great, bitch. All right, we will wrap it up next on The Fan. We've got a text here. It says, my teenage son doesn't like to order his own food at restaurants.
Yeah, that's a thing I've read about. People have anxiety about, like, the counter interaction or ordering off a menu or being waited on.
Here's a guy who says, do we need to start bitch-slapping the younger generations? I don't have kids myself, but I volunteer to smack some Gen Zers if needed.
Well, make America great again. Let's start punching kids in the face. I just have really tried hard to not judge kids, because it just then you just morph into... The old guy is every generation does it, right? And I'm like, I am not going to be the one that's like, kids are dumb and they're lame. And they just, because they can do things that we can't. Like, they have 1,000 things that they can do that I would be like, oh my God, I have no clue how to do that. But man, sometimes they can do such advanced things. And then you look at simple tasks that are just, you're like, how? South Park did an unbelievable episode on this where... The world becomes topsy-turvy, and all the smart people, the nerds that are highly educated, no one wants those services. And it's the blue-collar guy, the guy that's the plumber, the electrician, that guy becomes the billionaire because no fancy people can actually do anything simple. And so all of a sudden the plumber's charging like $100,000 to fix a toilet to fix a toilet. Because no, and the smart person's like, I'll trade my services for you fixing my toilet. And there is an element to that. We're like, we're literally losing the ability to do like basic things. Meanwhile, that kid can probably do something with a computer that would blow your mind.
Yeah.
Everything's computer.
Dude, the confidence of a liberal arts degree is like the greatest confidence in the world until you actually have to, like, I don't know, apply something to the real world.
Talk to a human about
it. Yeah.
That's a big deal. Thank you very much.
All right, well, we get to go home and watch a nice little second half here.
Somebody said skedaddle.
13-6 Chargers.
And we're all sitting here being like, man, the Chiefs only have 6 points, and I'll just, yeah, what's the win. Spread right now? I'll take the Chiefs. They'll find a way.
All right, everybody, have a great weekend. Ducks game tomorrow, Seahawks game Sunday, all here on The Fan. We're back Monday, 3 to 7 on The Fan. Good night.
Ships of Spain.